The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've mentioned at the beginning of this Mass that we are celebrating today the solemnity of the Ascension of Jesus. And the solemnity of the Ascension of Christ is celebrated 40 days after his resurrection. But if you count from Easter Sunday to today, it's more than 40 days. So what's going on? Well, it's because in many of the dioceses here in the U.S., we always move the solemnity of the Ascension to a Sunday, normally to the seventh Sunday in Easter, so that there is a greater participation among the faithful because of this great solemnity. Is the message of this great solemnity can really deepen our faith experience. So if you are going to be technical about this, the Ascension of Jesus is celebrated, it was in the other parts of the world, last Thursday, on the sixth week of Easter. So that's 40 days after the resurrection. It's 40 days after the resurrection, 10 days before Pentecost. Next Sunday is the feast of the solemnity of the Pentecost, the last day and the end of the Easter season. So technically, I can still greet you today, Happy Easter. But it's like, what? You know, just don't do it in the grocery stores. They will look at you funny. I did it before. I was like, oh, it's been... She looked at me really weird. And I said, I'm Catholic. We're still Easter, on Easter time. But what is the Ascension of Jesus? The Ascension of Jesus is the return of Christ, the formal return of Jesus to the Father. And I've asked myself about this before. Would it have been a lot better, a lot easier if Christ stayed here? Would it be a lot easier if he is the one preaching to you? You will not gonna mind sitting there for 5 hours listening for his homily. You know, I know that some people, after listening to me for 15 minutes, are like, oh, you know, wrap it up. But would it have been a lot easier, right? Would it have been a lot easier if there's something that needs to be resolved, like a moral dilemma, we could just call him in a telephone and say, or like, hey, we want to Zoom with you. Can you clarify this for us? It would have been a lot easier. But why did Christ return to the Father? You know, the interplay between presence and absence is really an interesting thing. A spiritual writer by the name of Father Ronald Heiser said that sometimes or many times absence cleanses and deepens our presence. Absence cleanses cleanses or deep and deepens our presence. I understand this in my own life. I'm from a family of five boys. Five boys, and I'm the middle child. That explains so many things, to tell you the truth. And five boys, it's like, it was a pretty rough household. I mean, not difficult, but, you know, boys. And we're not very communicative of our feelings. We don't express our, we do. I know we love one another, but we don't verbalize it, you know? Just like, hey, bro, how are you? You know, and all of that. You know, get over it, you know? So those approach. And even with our parents, we know that we love them deeply and we know that they love us deeply, but verbal expression was not really part of our own dynamics growing up. But everything changed when all of us left home. Most of my siblings also live overseas. And the last time I think that we were all together were five boys. The last time that I can recall that we were all together in the same house or in the same place was 2004, when my father died. And after that, we were just seeing each other like one of them, two of them, but we were not in the same roof for many, many years now. And same thing with our parents. Well, I see my mom regularly. She visits regularly. She stays with me, or she stays with my brother in California. But I remember the first or the second time I talked to her on the phone. There was no iMessenger yet at that time. There was no Zoom. It was just the usual phone thing that you need to get, like one of those phone cards to call overseas. I remember the first time that I actually said verbally, I love you and I miss you. And it felt like it was electricity that entered my body. I knew I just had to say it because I truly miss them. But if not of my absence, and if not of their absence, their physical absence, I would not have probably verbalized it. So the absence cleanses or purifies our presence. It purifies it in a new way. And you know this, I've said this before and I've used this example, you know this for those of you who have children who have, you sent them to the university. Remember that first time that you dropped them off in their dorms? Or when they are about to apply for college, it's like you want to get a hold, I mean, you would just want to have them, but you know that you have to let them go. I know that some of you could not wait to let them go, right? That too, sometimes. But you still love them. But remember that time, you know, where you want to hold on to them. It would be a lot easier, probably, emotionally. But you know that for them to be able to mature, for them to be able to grow, for them to be able to tread their own path, we have to let them go so that they can come back to us as new persons, as mature individuals. And the presence and our relationship is deepened too. We enter into a deep relationship, a deeper relationship with them. But I remember the first time that my mom visited me, I was a priest already. And the first time she visited me as a priest, and she stayed with me. And, you know, I left home really early, right after high school, because I had to be in the seminary. So I grew up in the church. I have no other world that I know except church. And so the last time that I left home, I didn't know how to cook. She was the one cooking for me. And it was so interesting, the first time that she came, she was so surprised that I know how to cook. It's like, of course, I have no choice. I was not gonna eat. But she said, wow, this is interesting, you know? And so the relationship really changes. And that would have had that same dynamics with the disciples and Jesus if Jesus did not leave. It would have been a lot easier for the disciples to be complacent, to be passively dependent on Jesus and say, okay, there's a problem here. We need to feed these people, the sick, you know, the hungry. And the disciples could just easily say, Lord, why don't you do your little miracle? Multiply some bread and fish. Oh, you know, this person is having a hard time. Why don't you console this person? You're good at it. But Jesus believes in the capacity of the disciples and what they could do. You know, this is one of those things that as I was listening today to the gospel again and reflecting on the gospel for a few days now, as Jesus was being ascended, as Jesus is ascending to heaven, his words were this: go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Go into the whole world. As he was being lifted up to heaven, these are his parting words. It's like, are you kidding me? You're giving this tall order to these guys? Like 43 days ago, they were so scared and they abandoned you? And now you're giving them the most important mission here in this world to go and preach the gospel. But 43 days ago, they were so scared and the leader of the band even denied knowing you. That is why the 40 days after the resurrection was really an intensive retraining of the disciples. Because they lost their confidence, they lost their faith. It was an intensive 40 days. So you see, the theological significance of 40 here, 40 days after the resurrection ascension, 40 is always an intensive preparation, 40 days of Lent, a preparation. 40 days after the resurrection, an intensive preparation for the disciples to be on their own, that they could do this. They, you know, if I were Jesus, I would have chosen a different group of people. It's like, are you kidding me? Did they just deny you? And now you're reappointing them again? Because Christ is telling them, guys, my grace is enough for you. Sometimes we may feel that the call to the discipleship is a tall order. I do. How? During this time of pandemic is one of the most difficult time of my ministry. That was so interesting. Should I share this? Whatever. I will share it. I got a text message from a good friend of mine. He's studying canon law in Spain. He texted me. He said, hey, how are things going? And I said, good. How are you doing? And he sent me a picture of his laptop and coffee. He's in a coffee shop somewhere in Navarre in Spain. It's like, oh, it's a good life. And then he asked again, how about you? What are you doing right now? I took a picture of my desk. It's a mess. And then the screen, I was readying the new protocols for this new guidelines of masking and all of that. And then I sent it to him. And then he replied back and say, fun? I was just like, I wish I could say it's fun. It's one of the most difficult. It's the most difficult time of being a priest. And then he said, I'll pray for you. Pray for you. Discipleship is not easy. But Christ has entrusted us of this great gift of faith because he believes in each and every one of us. And what are the signs that accompanies discipleship? This, you know, is so interesting. The words of Christ and the descriptions of Christ in here on what accompanies discipleship. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. How long have you been a disciple of Christ? Just ask yourself. And one of the signs of a disciple is capable of driving out demons. Do we still have demons that we battle with in our own lives? Demons that still hold us in the throat. It can be addiction, it can be ideology, it can be whatever it is. And what does a demon do? Divide. You know, the word diablos, comes from the word that means divide. What are the things that still divide you as a person, as created in the image and likeness of God, that render us separated from the love of God and from one another? They will speak new languages. We will see this in a very powerful way next Sunday in the Feast of Pentecost, that as the disciples spoke in their own language, other nationalities can understand them. You know, nowadays, we have to speak new language. You know, sometimes I don't even know how to speak with my nephew. We speak the same language, but their language is so different now. And how to reach them. The language of love is the one that we speak. Is my discipleship, do I have that capability or capacity right now of speaking new languages, being able to enter into dialogue with people so that I can share the good news and I become a good news to them? And this one is interesting. They will pick up serpents. Have you picked up serpents? I hate snakes. But not, this is not just literal. Those things, places, situations, people that could bite you and render you almost dead. Are you able to deal with them? Difficult people, difficult conversation, difficult situation. And as if, you know, they could just bite you and render you invalid. Or do we stay away from them and go back to our own comfort zones? They will lay hands on the sick. Am I a source of healing for people? Those are the signs, the accompanying signs of a disciple, according to Jesus, as he goes back to the Father. Looking at those signs, what areas do I have to grow in those signs?